Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Now listen, and I will not remember your sins.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Thank you, Brother Corey. God bless you, truth seekers. Welcome to Truth Infusion. I am David Markham, and I'm excited to be with you today. If you've been with us the last 2 weeks, God has really been doing a neat thing as we've been discussing what I like to call our divine position. I've made the case for the last 2 weeks that many people struggle and are in defeat in their daily life. I'm talking about life between the Sundays, okay? We put on our best face on Sunday when we're around the people of God. We want them to think we're godly and that we've got it going on, because in our estimation, in a lot of cases, if you're close to God and living God's way, everything is good and happy, and there's nothing bad, and it's all sunshine and roses. So we got to pretend like it's all sunshine and roses so people won't know that we are struggling when Monday morning rolls around. And we live more defeated and more with the world on top of us than us on top of the world. And if that's you, if that's anywhere close to describing your condition, I want you to know something. You are not alone. You're not alone. Most Christians today are in that place. And the reason we are in that place, truth seekers, is because we do not have a foundational understanding of the doctrines of the Bible, because it is truth that sets us free. It is truth. Doctrine equals freedom. So, David, I don't even like that word. I don't even know what it means. So how am I going to get some doctrine if I can't even define? Look, let me just make it easy on you. The Word of God coming alive in your everyday life will set you free from the world, the flesh, and the devil. But if you do not have a true and good understanding of the truth cannot set you free. For Jesus Himself said in John chapter 8, "For you shall know the truth." And that word "know" is to have experiential knowledge of the truth. To experience it, not just on the page, but coming alive in your life. You will know the truth, and the truth then will set you free. Amen. That's what we're looking for. Let me tell you a truth that you need to know. We've been discussing it for 2 weeks. It is of vital importance, and it is this, very simply: you are in Christ. That is your divine position in the heart and mind of God. If you have come to Him at the point of salvation, He did something amazing with you, man of God, woman of God, boy or girl. He took you and merged you, joined you vitally together with His Son. He placed you in Christ. And we talked about that from the vantage point of Romans chapter 6, verse 3 last week, when Paul says, "Know you not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" And the point I tried to make last week, which is so important to understanding the truth in this verse, is you got to get the idea of water baptism out of your brain and understand the true meaning of the word right here is to be placed into. Know ye not that as many of us as were placed into Christ Jesus were placed into His death? And I spent the bulk of last week's show explaining to you that being placed into Christ is not just something poetic or neat picturesque way to say that we are have a very special relationship with Christ. No, get that away. Let's get off of the surface and get into the true depth of the word. This is trying to tell you that God merged you together with his son in a very vital way. So close, in fact, that 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who is joined to the Lord, being Jesus, is one spirit with him. Galatians 3:27 says, as many of you as were placed into Christ have put on Christ. You are in him, joined, merged, infused, made one flesh in a vital way. And that's important. You've got to understand that. Why? Because every good and perfect benefit from the Heavenly Father comes to us not because we're good enough or smart enough or we studied long enough or we gave more money than the next person into the offering plate. No, it comes to us because we understand this truth. We are in His Son, and when we are merged into Christ, Christ Jesus can only be Himself in us. He can't pretend to be anyone else but Himself, and Christ in you, being Himself in you, brings to you everything you could possibly ever need, want, desire, or require for life and victory here on planet Earth. Wow, that's, boy, that gets me excited. That's good preaching right there. You are in Him. You are in Him. And so we talked mainly about that last week, but the rest of verse 3, Romans 6, verse 3, says something that's also very important, and that's where we're going to start today. Let me read verse 3 again, and then want to get into the last half of this verse, and I want you to see what being in Christ has done for you. It's fantastic. The verse 3 says, know you not that as many of us as were baptized or placed into Christ Jesus, were placed into His death. You are in Christ, but the next thing you need to know is you are, not were, are in His death. Paul says, know you not that you were placed into His death? What does that mean? Does that mean that Christ died for us, died in our place, took our place, took the wrath of God for our sin upon Him? And because He did that for us, we now have our sin atoned for. The penalty of that sin has been set away from us. We can now be joined back together with good relationship and good standing with the Heavenly Father and receive eternal blessing and benefit from that. Is that what it means to be in His death? Well, yes, but that's very superficial. Okay, that's kindergarten level. That's the very beginning. That's what you need to understand to be saved. Now let's get a little bit deeper in this. Can we do that, truth seeker? Will you go a step deeper? Theologically, we talk about the substitutionary death of Jesus. And in essence, that's kind of what I've just described. That we deserve the cross, but Christ took our place and hung there for us. But I want you to know something. The Word of God and the law of God never goes away. He never changes His mind. Amen? He doesn't say something on Monday and then say, oh, on Thursday, I wish I hadn't said it that way, or nah, I've changed my mind on that one, or oops, I shouldn't have called it like that. I should have said it this way. No, God doesn't do that, never has, never will. He means what He says. He says what He means. And in Romans 6:23, He tells us this, for the wages of sin is death. And you know what a wage is. We're talking about working your job, 40-hour a week, whatever you do. Some work more than that, some less. But in your job, you earn a wage. That is a fixed and a regular payment. You agreed with your employer, I will do this job description you've given me, and in exchange for that, every hour I perform that work, you will give me a wage, this set amount, this is what we agree upon. Here is the bottom line. God says the wage that you earn for your sin and mine is death. And that word death isn't necessarily physically dropping dead, but it means to be separated from God. The wages are what we've earned. The payment for our sin is eternal separation. But enter in the God-man, the perfect lamb, the sacrifice, the substitutionary death. He comes to the Father, stands between God and man, grabs God by one hand, grabs us by the other hand, and through his death pays for our sin. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But it's more than that. Because Paul said, not that he went and died for you. He said, you are in his death, placed into his death. And here's what I want you to see, that God, when we got saved, merged you into Christ. If you got saved in 2000 or 2002 or 2014 or 1935, it doesn't matter. At that moment, you were placed into Christ. But God is not just today. He is yesterday, today, and forever. He is not bound by time. He does not operate from 1 second to the next like you and I do. God is ever present throughout all time and eternity, from time's beginning to time's end. God is present in every moment, in every second of every day, in the whole timeline of eternity. He is already there and is still there. I'm telling you that God is still operating just as real and alive in 2014 as he is 2,000 years ago when Christ was hanging on the cross. He is still there in that moment at Calvary, presently operating. And at the same time, he is in our day, presently operating. And at the same time, he is in eternity in the future, presently operating. Now, what does that mean for us? It means this. When he placed you in Christ, it wasn't just from the moment you got saved on until eternity forward. He placed you in Christ from this moment into eternity past. And so when Paul says you are in Christ and you are in his death, here's what he's saying, truth seeker. Now get this concept. He's telling you that in 2,000 years ago, when God the Father looked down on crucifixion day under that darkened hill and that cross where they raised his son to the sky, beaten and broken and bloodied for you and I, and he looked on the face of his son, he did not just see the face of Jesus there. If you have been saved, he has placed you in Christ. That means 2,000 years ago, he looked down on that cross and he saw you hanging there, paying for your sin. How is that? Because you are in Christ and you are in his death. Those are not my words. Those are the Holy Spirit's words through the Apostle Paul. Know you not that those of us that were in Christ are in his death? When God looked down on the cross, he didn't see Jesus. He saw David Markham paying for his sins, every last one of them. The beauty of this is Christ did it in the physical sense. God joined us to him in a spiritual sense, but God gave us the benefit of what Christ endured and paid for. He accounted it unto us as having paid for our sin. The wages of sin is death, but Romans 6:7 says, but he who has died is free from the sin nature. And he saw you dying with Christ on the cross. You are in his death and you have been freed from sin because God placed you in his death. My. But isn't that wonderful, beautiful, fabulous? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you have placed me in Christ. If we were in a church service right now, I'd probably have to have an altar call, because just this concept alone has set people free from burden and from defeat to realize the truth of what it means to be in Christ. But the story doesn't stop there. Let's look at verse 4. Therefore, Paul says, we were buried with him through baptism into his death. through being placed into his death, Paul says, we were also buried with him. You see, when the body of Jesus was taken down from that cross, that broken, beaten, destroyed body of flesh, all that sin heaped upon him, and the white hot rage of God lashing out against all of that sin combined into one body, and he combined us with Christ, and he saw us there, and we died for our sins in the eyes of God. It didn't end there, because Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took that body down, that body broken by sin, wrapped it up, carried it to Joseph's tomb, and placed that body of Jesus in the tomb. And when the body of Jesus was placed into the tomb, God saw our body of sin buried away in that tomb. How is that? Because you are in Christ, not just in his death where he saw you paying for your sin, but also in his burial. What's the benefit, David, of being in the burial of Christ? The benefit is this: that which God buries away will never rise from the grave again. And the body of sin that they put in the tomb is not the body that walked out. You see, the body of sin was buried away forever and ever. Amen. God saw our body of sin buried away forever, never to rise again. You see, we may remember our past and have regrets, even allow ourselves to fall under condemnation for things that we have done. Some Christians carry around past actions for decades and decades. I want you to hear something. Isaiah 43:25, God said, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Now listen, and I will not remember your sins. Jesus was placed into the garden tomb, that horrific sight. The prophet tells us that if we had put our eyes on him, that body that day, we wouldn't have recognized it as a human being. That means if we would have saw the body of Jesus off the cross laying in a heap on the ground, we wouldn't have recognized what that was, just some mass of flesh. But God joined us with him, and he buried Christ away in that tomb. Rolled the stone, never to rise again, that body of sin. And so is it with us. It's a pretty amazing thought when you consider this. It was in a garden that sin and death were brought to life. It was also in a garden that sin and death were buried away forever. Our sin was forever forgotten in the heart and mind of God because we were buried with Christ. So you ought not carry that burden around with you anymore. Because in the mind, in the eyes of the only one that counts, he does not remember your sin. But thank goodness the story doesn't even end there. As fabulous as it is, verse 4 says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into his death. Now watch this. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Not just in his death, not just in his burial, but 3 days later, Jesus walked alive out of that tomb. It wasn't the body they put in there. It was the glorified body of the resurrected Lord that walked out of that tomb. And God, in his beautiful and wonderful and awesome mind, in his eyes, he didn't just see his son walk out of that tomb. He saw me walk out of that tomb, resurrected with Christ, because he placed me in Christ. I walked out resurrected, and that brings to me something that's awesome. And this verse 4 calls it newness of life. It says that we ought to walk in newness of life. And that word walk is not just to take one step after another or take a leisurely stroll. It means to order your life after, to organize yourself in this manner. In what manner? In newness of life. And what does that mean? Well, when we think about newness of life, we would tend to want to think about living in a new way, or let me say it differently, living with a new mind, living with new words, living with new thoughts and new activity. Well, that happens, yes. But what the Greek bears out in verse 4 when it says newness of life is something even better than that. It's a greater picture. Like I'm telling you before, we got to get off the surface. That's the surface part. Let's get a little deeper. You can do that. This newness of life doesn't just refer to the new creature. All things passed away and everything becomes new. It really refers to a new source of power. A new power source. We ought to walk. We ought to organize our lives. We ought to organize our steps in life with a new source of power, because Christ walked out of the tomb in resurrection power. Even so, we walked out of that tomb with Him in the mind of God. We have been merged into Him. You are in Christ and you are in His resurrection. You and I also can walk with a new power source. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you." The capital H on His, through His Spirit who dwells in you. And it says that He who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body. That means that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is going to give life to your mortal body. It's not talking about a body in the future. It's not talking about your eternal glorified body. That's going to be an immortal body. That will be an incorruptible body. I'm talking about the moral. I'm talking about the mortal body today. It will quicken it. It will bring it to life with the very Spirit that brought Christ to life. What is this telling us? I'm telling you this. We can live and operate today with the benefits of eternity. We're not going to be perfect, because we're still going to be in this flesh for a time. And we're still going to be in an imperfect world with imperfect flesh and an enemy that is after us. However, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now our new power source. And He only knows how to be one kind of Spirit. And it is a quickening, empowering, revolutionizing Spirit. It is the Spirit that raised Christ. You are in Him, and that Spirit flows from Christ into you. From you back into Christ, because we are joined with Him. The new power source will quicken and give resurrection life to our mortal body. I want to say this. One of my favorite authors, his name is Leonard Ravenhill. Listen to this quote from Leonard Ravenhill. He said this: "Jesus did not come to this earth to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live." Our problem wasn't that we weren't good enough, because there's always somebody that's going to be worse than us, and there's always going to be somebody that's going to be better than us. Our problem is not that we haven't become good enough. Our problem is that from birth, we are spiritually dead, separated from God, with a sin nature overwhelming and ruling our lives. We are spiritually dead men and women. Jesus came to give life to the dead. And just as He was resurrected from the dead, so you and I are resurrected with a new power source that offers us the benefits of Christ. Why? Because He's walking beside us? No. Because He's carrying us along? No. Because we are in Him. 2 Peter 1. Let me give you another amazing scripture. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4 says this: "His divine power," capital H-I-S now, it's Christ here, "His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." He has given us all things that pertain to life, to living in this world, and to godliness, to becoming more like God, to walking it out like God. How are we getting all things for life and godliness? What? Because we read the Bible an extra chapter today, so we get more of those things? No. Because we determined we would pray 30 minutes more every day this week? Is that going to give us all things? No. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness because we are in Christ, in His death, in His burial, in His resurrection. And verse 4 there in 2 Peter chapter 1 says, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. So somebody might say, David, and this is hypothetical, but they might say, David, you deal with back pain and it's chronic and you're in pain all the time. How do you deal with that? My answer should be to them, I don't. I don't deal with the pain. I don't have to deal with the pain. I'm in Christ. He deals with it for me. It's not just a neat thing to say. It's the truth. David, you just had two of your family members die in a car wreck. How are you dealing with all this grief? I'm not dealing with the grief. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to make it work. I don't have to deal with it. I'm in Christ. He deals with it. David, you just lost your job. You've got a wife and three kids. How are you going to support them? What are you going to do? How are you going to figure all this out? I don't have to support them. I don't have to figure it out. All I've got to do is recognize and realize I'm in Christ. Everything I need for life and for godliness is in Him. He will deal with my loss of job. He will provide the way. He will give me the new opportunity. I'm in Him. I don't have to figure it out. He'll figure it out. Why? I'm in Christ. I'm in Him. So lay down your efforts. Can I just set you free from something? Well, let me say that differently. I want you to be set free by the truth. You don't have to figure it out, child. You don't have to come up with a better answer or remake the wheel or reorganize your life. You don't have to have your efforts and your rights. Let it go. Lay it down. Let Him do what He does best. What does Christ do best? He does this best, being Himself in you while you are in Him. You are in Christ. Don't you know that those of us that are in Him are in His death. We are in His burial. We are in His resurrection. And we can walk with a new power source because we are in Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's no better news. There's no better headline on any newspaper today than this. You are in Christ. God bless you. Keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.